Okay. I think I'm live. So, I recently got a royalty check for my book that I published. But it wasn't for a whole lot. And the company that sent me the royalty check keeps telling me that they deposited the little check into my bank account, and they said that they traced it, that it was sent on March 29th, 2024. And I haven't gotten it yet. I don't know why, but they said that we definitely sent it. They gave me the trace number. They said it should be reflected in my balance. It should have shown up by now, So I'm not really sure. So I'm going to look into that today. But when I looked at the payment, it made me start going through some things in my account where I published my book, which is called What's the Matter? The Psychology of Feeling in the Era of AI. And I was reviewing some of the details, and I decided, you know what? I'm going to reread my manuscript, the one that's public. I'm going to reread it just to make sure that everything is correct, right? So the first thing is I go into my manuscript, which is on Kindle, and the very first line is incorrect. Like, it says that I published it January 6, 2023, right? So when I saw that, I was like, okay, I saw that on the first day that I published my manuscript. And then I went in, I made the edit to January 6, 2024. I uploaded it, I waited for the review, and then I opened my manuscript up again and made sure on the Kindle website or the Kindle app to make sure that it reflected the correct date, which was January 6, 2024. And it did. This was a long time ago because I did several edits to my manuscript because I was like, read, like, after I uploaded it, I would read it on Kindle. And if I saw any mistakes, I would then upload the change. And then I would, as a consumer, go, because I have an e-reader. I would like the e-reader doesn't know that, like, I would order it as a regular consumer because I had what was called free read, and I would do a download just to make sure, like, I did it on several different devices, just as a, like, my book is available on Apple Books. So I know that the January 6, 2024 date was updated and changed because I have a bunch of devices and my book is available everywhere, like Apple Books, whatever. So someone changed the date back. And I don't know how, I feel like someone is logging into my account and making changes to my manuscript. And the very first thing that they made a change to was the January 6, 2023, which I published it January 6, 2024. And I explained that the reason why I had published it early. I have been working on this manuscript for a really long time. A lot of the things, some of the things in my manuscript are in my PhD paper submissions and my PowerPoint presentations that I did before I entered my PhD program. So I have like a bunch of YouTube slides where I talk about the biotech that Dr. Frederick B. Price snuck in my body. And I used to do what was called photojournalism videos. And I did those videos years before. Like, he snuck this biotech in my body in 2015, May 12th, 2015. And I was doing photojournalism videos from 2015 to 2019 before I entered the PhD program at Walden University, where basically I was taking my research, letters that I had already written to Washington, D.C., letters that I wrote to a bunch of different associations to kind of like ask for help because I knew that Dr. Fred Price had snuck biotech in my body. And also to let them know that this is what they're doing to me and maybe other women. I wasn't really sure where I fit in at the inside the food chain, but I knew that I never consented, and I knew that they were lying to me, and I knew that I had to figure out a way to just survive and cope with what was happening to my body after I woke up from that surgery. So, anywho, I started to do a lot of research on my own. Mainly, I would also do audio recordings. Like, I feel like I'm one of the pioneers or originators in podcasts before they were podcasts. I was literally doing audio recordings every day in real time, starting in 2015, sometimes 3 and 4 times a day, all the way up until now, which is 2024. So I have like a lot of recordings. Like in my manuscript, I say I have over 2,000 audio recordings. It's probably more than that. But I wasn't always posting them publicly. Sometimes I would do videos, sometimes I would do audios. And then what I would do is I felt like I needed to make myself more credible, because it would be hard to believe that a doctor would sneak biotech in the body that has made me radioactive from the tips of my toenails to the fibers of my hair. I'm like, static energy walks with me, and I can do a lot of things with this biotech in my body. And this biotech communicates a lot of things. Mainly, someone tries to communicate pain and sexual assault. However, it also communicates ASL, Morse code, and it's undetected communications at the speed of light. It's just someone chooses to communicate pain, and I feel like there's been no accountability for the way that this biotech that was snuck in my body is used on my body. And everyone is lying. I'm the only one telling the truth. Everyone is lying while someone continuously tries to misuse and abuse the biotech on my body. Even now, I had noticed that someone had took out the phrase "in the era of AI." So my book is called "What's the Matter? The Psychology of Feeling in the Era of AI," which is artificial intelligence. And one of the things that I call myself at this point with the biotech of my body is I call myself an artificially augmented human, because the biotech, the way that the technology works is someone basically tried to turn my nervous system into some type of programmed CPU system. So they hooked some type of microleads to my soft nerve tissue, where someone is able to remotely access my nervous system and do all kinds of things to my body. When I say certain things, my middle finger gets buzzed. Like I said this morning, I got burned at the top of my head. Last night, someone tried to remotely digitally rape me in my bed, and I just ignored it. So it's like 1 minute. So and the thing is, I don't know who's doing this to me. I don't know who's accessing the biotech in my body. But when you think of what artificial intelligence is, it's a programming language. It's artificial. And to have intelligence, it has to be able to function and operate with some type of code or with some type of design that basically learns and executes and does a bunch of different things, which is what this biotech does. Meaning someone uses my body as a GPS tracking system. So you can track where I go. That's information. You know what I'm doing, where I am. This biotech picks up sound. That's also information. You're using my body as an incubator to collect data and research. And you could only do that by programming and designing technology that you installed in my body to do that. And you're doing it for free, meaning you use my body without consent. You sit there and you manipulate my nervous system, and you cause all these sensations all over my body. And you do all these things to my body. You try to remote control my vagina. You try to turn my pussy into a utility. Then you try to do things to my skin by hurting me physically and trying to intimidate me. And then you try to use feeling as a way to change or alter how I think and feel. So for instance, when I re-added the words in the era of AI, then the top of my head got burned, like, you know, like it was supposed to intimidate me and make me remove that from the title. And the thing is, I have a bachelor's from Drexel University in business administration with a concentration in management information systems. I have a master's in elementary education from Grand Canyon University, and I was in a PhD program at Walden University where I made honor society. So I'm no dummy. And you snuck this biotech in my body to communicate with me. And like just now, I got two bumps on my left leg, you know. So technically, if I was to interpret those sudden two bumps while I'm doing this live recording, you could say that it was an I or an M. Sometimes those bumps come on my shoulder, on my back. Sometimes I get certain things that happens to my face, different areas of my face, and it's not fibromyalgia because of the way that it happens. Like I always use certain examples. Like for at one time I would get a bump on my shoulder at the same time every morning for like several weeks. Every morning I would get a bump at the same time on my shoulder. So when you think of that, it's timed. It's a pattern. It's at the same time. It's in the same mode, you know, so it's not a coincidence. You could say if it happened once or twice, it would be something sudden and sporadic. That would be considered a coincidence. Then you could say it's fibromyalgia because it's random. It wasn't random. It was consistent. It was the frequency was the same, right? And then it happened every day at the same time in the same location. So when that happens, that's a pattern, right? When I left my flash drive in the Staples, I was printing out something in Staples, and I had a lot of things on there, research about the biotech in my body, and also things about my patent designs. I have a bunch of patents. I have two patents, U.S. patents, with the USPTO office, and I have one pending. Overall, I have filed like 9 different patents that are really, some of them are unrelated to the biotech in my body, but 2 of them are related to the biotech in my body. But anywho, I left my flash drive in the copier machine at the Staples. I've used this one all the time as an example because it provides credibility. And then when I walked out, all of a sudden my hand buzzed, right? So then I looked down at my hand and I thought, like, why? Like, I asked the question, like, why did my hand buzz? What was I doing? Where was I at? When did it happen? Oh, and then it made me think I left my flash drive inside the Staples copy machine. So then when I got it, my hand wasn't buzzing anymore. That's a subtle, non-aggressive, less scary way of explaining how the biotech communicates or has the capability of communicating. But the things that someone does to me, there are bad actors that use this biotech adversely on me. So enough of the background, because honestly, this is a live recording. I have done like at least 15 audio recordings since I posted last. So I've done like 15 audio recordings since I posted last, I think. And I haven't posted any of them. Usually I do my recordings first and then I decide which ones I'm going to upload. I don't typically do live recordings. But the thing that's pissing me off, where I'm getting upset, is someone changed the date from January 6th, 2024 to 2023. And I feel like it was to like turn off the time, turn off, or should I use that word, turn off, to turn away from the timeline of events. Because what I said in the beginning of my manuscript is I published my manuscript early because I thought they were going to try to Sandra Bland me. I didn't say the word Sandra Bland. I didn't use her words. I didn't use her name, I should say. But that is my metaphor for what I thought, because my daughter has a friend that lives here, and she's a minor. And she did something she wasn't supposed to do. And even though I'm not her guardian, I had to go to court on her behalf because of what she had done. And when I was sitting in the foyer, I was getting my vagina vibrated. I was getting burned at the top of my head. This guy came and sat next to me with his baby. And then I was getting attacked even more. And I was very calm because I knew where I was. I was in a police precinct that I had never been in before. Nowhere near my home. And I literally felt like I was being set up because of the way that I was being attacked. It was vicious with the biotech, but I didn't show any reaction. I didn't move or anything. I kind of, like, this biotech has been in my body for 9 years. So it's like, a lot of things happen to me with this biotech. Not everything that happens to me hurts. Not everything that's communicated to me is meant to harm me in any kind of way. Sometimes it communicates things that happens on the world stage. Like someone has tried to turn me into the fucking Oracle, you know, but that's not what I want to talk about in this live. That's a whole nother recording. But at that particular time, someone was trying to use the biotech maliciously, you know, trying to, you know, like hurt people. Someone was hurting me with it, trying to irritate and agitate me with it at a time where I was very vulnerable, in a setting where I was very vulnerable. And I had to ignore what was happening to me because of my life, you know, like my life would have been at stake. So when I go into the courtroom, and see, I don't even want to, I feel like I have those recordings, and for me to retell the story now, it's not fresh. You know, like I feel like the recordings that I have from when it happened are fresh. But the bottom line is, when I went into the courtroom, I really just assumed that I could tell my truth and everything would be okay. And now it feels like, because everything later on ended in a much better place, and me and the judge and I had an eye to eye later on, it kind of feels, I don't even feel really that comfortable telling the story, because of the way things ended. However, I'm telling the story now because someone tried to change the date, trying to derail the reason why I published my manuscript early. So I have no choice but to tell the story. So when I went into the courtroom, my intention was to just be honest and tell the truth, and things would resolve, you know, easily. You know, he read the charges to me, you know, and said what they were. And I said, okay. You know, like, I feel like telling the story now versus, I'm really nervous to tell the story now, but this, to me, this kind of, I feel like this might be a good thing because I'm always, you know, researching memory, you know what I mean? Like recall, like how you told the story many times in recordings at this point. Let's see if the way you tell the story now is the same. So I'm going to try to be as honest as I can based on what I can recall, right? But I had the recording because I detailed it in real time. After I got out of there, I did recordings about what happened multiple times. But anywho, he reads the charges to me, and asked me, you know, did I understand? And I said yes. So you know, and I said, but I didn't let her drive my car, right? That's what I said. I said, I didn't let her drive my car. And he said, well, I didn't ask you that. Like, so basically the charges were you did this and this and this with the vehicle, which I didn't do any of those things. The young lady that drove my car did those things, but I didn't let her drive my car. Like, I didn't let her drive my car. So when he asked, when he read the charges, I said, yes, you know, like, but comma, I did not let her drive my car. Like, the, like, it was like, I wanted to give a complete sentence. Like, yes, I understand, but I didn't let her drive my car. Right. And he said, you know, I didn't ask you that, you know. He said, do you know this person? And I said, yes, I do. But I didn't let her drive my car. And he said, well, did you file a report that your car was stolen? And to me, the kid that lives in my house is vulnerable. You know, her mom lost her home. And kids can be defiant, and you know, all, you know, so I felt like if you were a mom, right, and your kid's friend does something that they shouldn't do, would you file a police report against that kid that they stole something if you knew where it was? Like, in my mind, this is what I'm thinking. Like, because I knew where the car was because they called me and told me I had to come get it. And then my daughter and her friend had to, you know, come back home on their own. So someone, I guess, picked them up and they came back. And then me as the parent had to go get the car, right? So if I knew where the car was, why would I report it stolen, right? So this is me thinking logically. I mean, him and in his mind, he told me the verbatim that I wasn't telling the truth because I didn't report the car stolen. So this is like me having my Ally McBeal moment, thinking when he asked me, did I report the car stolen? And I believe, I don't even know if I got a chance to say yes or no. And he said, because if you didn't report the car stolen, then I don't believe that you didn't let her drive your car, which to me just didn't make any sense. it didn't make sense to me because I'm just thinking, but for, I guess, you know, where I was, I forget the area I was in. I don't know. Like, I wish I knew. I don't remember the area that I was in. I just don't remember. And, but anywho, I was just like, I was like, okay. I said to him, I said, are you calling me a liar? And then he said, I don't believe you if you didn't file a police report. Right. And then he said, I don't even think he said anything after that. Like, honestly, I don't think he said, when he said to me that I wasn't telling the truth because I didn't file a police report for my car being stolen after I told him that I didn't let her drive my car. He then said that I don't even know if he used the words I'm in contempt, but he had all these officers surround me and grab my arms and twist my arms and lock me up and throw me on the bench. And I was so confused because I didn't really say anything other than I didn't let her drive my car. And when he asked me, did I file for the car stolen? I don't even think I got to answer him. I think he kind of finished my sentence. He said, because if you didn't file for your car stolen, then I don't believe that you didn't let her drive your car. And then I said, are you calling me a liar? And then he said I don't even think he said I was in contempt. He told the officers to lock me up and that I was going to go to jail for 60 days. And then they went through my pocketbook, checked everything in my bag. Like, this woman dumped all my stuff out of my bag, went through my bag. And then this other officer comes over to me, this old white guy. And he's like, I'm sitting there. And by the way, while I was sitting with the metal on my hands, my hands started to generate all this static energy to the point where it felt like my hands were freezing, but it wasn't freezing. It was piling up with static energy. I don't know, because I guess my hands were resting against the metal. And it just felt like, I don't know, it felt like my hands were like going into some stiff mode of static energy, like almost like if you're sitting on your hands. But I wasn't sitting on my hands. My hands were in the handcuffs with the metal, and my hands filled up with static energy. And like, even now, like my butt right now is starting to buzz. Then my butt started to buzz under the metal. So right now, while I'm doing this live recording, my butt is starting to buzz. And it was the same thing, except I'm sitting on a futon right now. But when I was sitting on the metal, my butt was buzzing. And mind you, I told you that when I was in the Fourier, someone was trying to like digi-rape my vaginal area, my rectum. I was getting burned at the top of my head, all this kind of stuff. And it really increased when, so I was sitting in between two white guys. And for the first part of it, I wasn't getting attacked. Then I started to get attacked out of nowhere. Then this guy comes over to and sits next to me with his baby. And then these other people start walking in front of me with their kids. And then all of a sudden I start getting attacked even more. It was weird. And I was just ignoring it. So when I went into the courtroom, I was still kind of like, these types of things happen to me all the time with the biotech. So I already knew that someone thought that, okay, if we do X, Y, and Z to her, then maybe we can get this kind of reaction out of her. But I wasn't going to. So, but anywho, when he did that to me, one of the cops came over and said to me, just don't say anything. When you go back up there to speak to the judge, don't say anything. He's going to do his spiel. This is what he said. He said he's going to do his spiel, and just don't say nothing. And I said, okay, you know, so I go back. So he calls me back up to the thing. This is like a week before Christmas. So I'm supposed to go away for Christmas, either 2 days later or whatever. So this is when all this happens. I think he had me come on the 23rd. Like it was like a few, I don't know what date, but it was a few days before Christmas. And I was scheduled to go to Philly for Christmas because my family and I were going to see The Color Purple for Christmas. So like that was our thing. Like, so I was just like, he was telling me he was sending me to jail for 60 days. And I'm like, I didn't do anything. I don't know, you know, why. Like in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, he didn't even let me explain. And so anywho, I go up to speak to him and I don't say anything. I don't say anything. I never said a word. And he basically berated me and like tried to reprimand me, even though I never said anything. And then even when I said nothing, he asked me, was I like eyeballing him? He said, are you rolling your eyes at me? He said, because if you're rolling your eyes at me, I'll send you to jail for 60 days. Now, this is without me saying anything. Like I said nothing. Nothing. Like he was arguing with himself. It was weird because he was talking to me and I didn't say anything because the officer told me not to. But even when I said nothing, he then said, am I rolling my eyes at him, even though I had on glasses? So the whole thing was just bizarre. And I was just like, okay, this, I feel like I'm in 1950 because everyone in the room was white. There was no black people at all. I was the only black female in there. There was nobody else in there. And he was screaming at me. And then I was just like, okay, you know, so he let me go. And so after I left, I did some research because I was just like, okay, who is this cat? You know, because he has a problem. So I looked him up on, I looked up the judge, right? I looked the judge up and I saw that the judge's name that was on my order, my contempt order, because he basically said I was in contempt and that I was going to have to come back and I needed an attorney. And if I didn't have an attorney, I would go to jail or something like that. So I had to get a public defender, right? So I said, okay, I'm going to look up this judge and find out who he is, because none of this makes any sense. None of this makes any sense. I felt like they were trying to kill me, literally, because I was getting attacked in a four-year. And then he had all these white cops around me and twist my arms and throw me on a bench. And then I was getting attacked by the biotech while I was on the bench. And this is all because the young lady that lives in my house drove my car, right? And got pulled over. So I felt like the whole thing was a fucking setup, right? So anywho, it just didn't make any sense, because it was extraordinary. Just the whole thing, just from the minute I got there and sat in the precinct all the way up, it just seemed like I was being set up and they were trying to get me to like lose it, to like lose control so that they could somehow like Sandra Bland me. That's what it felt like. So anywho, I looked him up. I looked up the judge's name and I started doing like, you know, online research, and I realized that the judge that was on my orders was not the judge, was dead. It said that he was deceased. It said that he had died not too long ago. So it was weird. So I was like, okay, well, if this judge died, maybe it's his son. Maybe it's like a junior, a senior, or a third, you know? So then I started scrolling through pictures for the precinct. I started looking through pictures and I found the judge. I found the judge, except the judge was a cop. He wasn't a judge. I said, this is the man that was yelling at me and screaming at me and threatening to send me to jail for 60 days. And it said that he was a cop. He was getting an award for something that he had done. And he was shaking someone's hand. And I said, this is him. So then I looked at his name, which I'm not going to tell you his name. And I Googled his name because I was like, this is definitely the man that was screaming at me in the court. And I looked him up and there was like all these articles about his stepson wanting to get him for murdering his mother. So, and I was just, it was weird. It was very creepy. And I felt like this can't be happening. Like this has to be a setup. Like I felt like, no offense, it's very serious, but I felt like I was being Ashton Kutcher because it was just too extreme. It was like out of a novel. Like you can't make this shit up. So I started reading the article. This is me trying to downplay it because I'm like, I'm telling my story because someone changed my fucking date and my manuscript. And you need to stop fucking with me. Don't change my fucking dates and my manuscript. So this is not to really get the officer, because I whatever happened with him is none of my business. But in my pursuit of my research, trying to figure out who he was and realizing that the judge that was on my order was deceased and the person that was acting as judge was really a cop. And then when I looked up the cop, he had a long history of things that were seen very out of order, meaning in the article, it said that his wife had a gun to her head and she was upset and distraught, and that he, officer, showed up and tried to talk his wife down from shooting herself in the head. And he ordered the other police to apprehend her. And as a result of him ordering the other officer to apprehend her, she accidentally shot herself in the head. And his stepson hates him, or guess, and wants him arrested. This story, I'm not making any of this up. It was very extreme. And apparently he had a history of mistreatment and abuse of his wife who shot herself in the head. Now, all of this is very, I don't, insensitive, but I feel like everything that's happening to me is insensitive. So what I think, and I could be wrong about this, is that maybe I've always felt like I've been a pawn and for bullshit. Like they be setting me up and putting my life at risk, maybe because he has certain tendencies. So they were hoping that I have certain tendencies, meaning the biotech does all these things to my body. So it's like the perfect collision. So I feel like he may have been used, like I have been used unknowingly, hoping that there would be some type of horrible collision. This is why. This is why I think that. Because when I went back to court for my contempt order, he was nice. He said to me that he has to see a lot of people in this court, which is true, because when I was in there, I felt like they were trying to lock up the whole town. Literally, when I went to that court, there were people standing up in the back. It was almost like the whole town was in that precinct. It was like the criminalization of an entire town. Not to say that I haven't seen that before. I've seen that in New Jersey for traffic tickets, you know, so I'm not really judging, but it was very crowded. So he said to me that he sees a lot of people every day, and typically it goes a certain way. And he sees this stuff every day. And he said that if it was his daughter and she let her friend drive his car without permission, you know, he would have done X, Y, and Z. That's what he said. He said, I would have done X, Y, and Z. He said he understands the whole scenario and the whole situation. But, you know, ultimately, as a judge, because of what had happened, this is what his responsibility is. And this is what had, you know, this is how he typically handles it. But he does understand that I didn't let her drive my car. So he made her do community service and he let it go, right? So I feel like I was being used for a cataclysmic collision. And I feel like he might have been being used for a cataclysmic collision. And I feel like my life was at risk. And I feel like I'm being pawned. And then I'm also living in a house with no heat because someone broke my heater. Cold water with biotech in my body. Hardly no money. And I feel like someone has tried to block, alter, suppress my truth and the details about everything that I know about this biotech that was snuck in my body. And that I feel like the only thing that they want to do is try to disempower me or want me to only discuss the narrative of misuse and abuse of the biotech. They want me to be the poster child for that. And then all the other things that they also learned from sneaking this biotech in my body 9 years ago that actually empowers you and makes you privy and gives you the advantage and communicates undetected at the speed of light and also does things to also affects things on the periodic table that kind of makes you very powerful. You know, like I said, it's not my fault that I decided or chose not just to see the narrative of you trying to subject human traffic and terrorism. It's not my fault that I see the other side, that you fucking try, that this biotech also turns me into the goddamn bionic woman. It's not my fault. It really does. It does a whole lot of things that can be helpful and useful and not harmful and not hurt, that is very empowering and makes you privy. And I discuss all of that too. And I feel like someone keeps trying to misuse it and abuse me with it. And then you're fucking with my manuscript. Like, you're fucking with my manuscript. Someone keeps fucking with my manuscript. I know that I updated that. I know that I changed that. I even downloaded it on Kindle and Apple Books to read it to make sure that the dates were right. Someone keeps tweaking little things in my manuscript, trying to throw off the timeline. And maybe you did it because you wanted me to tell this story, which again is you're using me. And am I allowing myself to be used? I don't know if I am or not. I feel like I need a civil rights and a human rights and a medical malpractice attorney to sue Allegheny Health Network, Dr. Frederick V. Price, and Westman Hospital. And you still can't have the biotech back. what I want is accountability for the way that the biotech is used. What I want is the digital footprint to be tracked and traced for anyone that has access and has use of this biotech, to, because the bottom line is it's not going away. Like it's, you've opened Pandora's box. You're never going to be able to close it. And you need, and I feel like there needs to be legislation, regulation, and accountability for all technology that is used, especially when you're sneaking shit in the human body. Like it's in my body now. It's not, I can't give you back something I didn't take, and you can't remove something that you haven't admitted is there. This is like plain old logic. You want to misdiagnose me like you misdiagnosed me for a hysterectomy that I didn't really need to sneak the biotech in my body. And then you want to misdiagnose me to remove it after you have used my body for research for 9 years for free. Not in 1950, not in 1865, in 2015. So I'm not part of the whole reparations thing, because we should have learned from our history. Like, reparations is something that is historical. That is something that happened in the past before we had a Black president and a Black vice president. We've now had a Black president and a Black vice president. We should have learned by now. I'm not part of the reparations. I'm part of now, here and now. And here and now, in 2015, you use my body for scientific research for free without consent that has harmed me. And then instead of telling the truth about what you've done to me, you've tried to gaslight me. One, when I go to the doctors, they gaslight me. They try to make me feel like I'm crazy when I'm telling the truth. They don't tell the truth about the biotech in my body, even though they've done 2 CT scans, which I believe shows the biotech in my body, and x-rays. So that's gaslighting. When I call the police and report when I get digitally raped and attacked and things happen to me, they do nothing. Okay. And when I call attorneys, they tell me that I have to have proof. And they send me back to the same people that did this to me, which are the doctors, which won't admit what they did to me because it's criminal. So it's like the fucking carousel. And meanwhile, you're trying to take me out by denying me money, by denying me resources, by sabotaging my environment, by trying to create as much chaos and catastrophe within my household so that things implode, so I don't have enough money to pay for things, so I don't have enough money to cover my bills and my debt. And then on top of it, someone is constantly physically hurting me and harassing me, hoping that I will break so that they can somehow excuse away, lie away the biotech that is in my body, and then take credit for all the research that you learned from me. Like I said, a coder and a designer and a surgeon can't tell you how something feels. Matter of fact, a coder and a designer and a surgeon can't even tell you what the outcome is as far as what the effects are, what the chain reactions are, what happens in the environment when this technology is used. They only will know that through observation. That is why they snuck it in my body. You can code something and design something and surgically implant something, but you don't know that it works until you start operating it and seeing how it functions and seeing how it affects not only the person that possesses the biotech, but the people, but how it affects the person that has the biotech and also the people that they're interacting with within the environment. I deserve millions for that. You use my body to figure that out. You snuck it in my body without consent so that you could see how it worked, so you could see how it functioned, so you could know how it felt. And you only would know how it felt through feedback. And feedback comes from the subject. And I'm the subject. You use me, my body, as the subject for your science project, for your fucked up science project, because you did not know if it worked. You did not know if it would function. You did not know how it felt. That is my book. That is my book. What's the Matter? The Psychology of Feeling in the Era AI is my book. I'm an expert. I'm a scientist. I'm a psychologist. And you keep trying to take that from me because And you can't take it from me because the biotech is in my body. I didn't write your book. I didn't write the book on coding this biotech. I didn't write your book. I didn't write the book on surgically implanting this biotech. No, I wrote the book on the psychology of feeling, what this biotech feels like, how it functions, how it interacts within society. And you won't even give me credit for that. You're trying to discredit me. You're trying to hurt me physically. You're trying to make me ridiculous by keeping me impoverished, by making people laugh at me and mock me. And then you're deliberately misusing the biotech on me in a certain way so that so you can control the narrative and I can only communicate the bad ways you use it. Like I said, I see the way you use it. I just don't see it the way you use it. So it's like, and I hope I said that right. I see what you're doing with the biotech. I see what you're doing with it. I see the adverse ways that you're using it. I just don't see it your way because I know all the other things that the biotech does. I know that the biotech is a tool, an instrument, and it's manipulated, encoded, designed by human hands and input, meaning it does nothing unless someone is manipulating it, someone is doing certain things with it. So I said that the biotech reflects the character of the end user. Whatever your intent is, the way you target me, what you do with the biotech, which you're constantly, instead of paying me and letting me live a decent life where my bills are paid and where I can have hot water and take a hot bath, where I can cook in my kitchen, you're trying to destroy me. You got me living in a fucking house with no money, with cold water because someone broke my fucking heater. Someone broke my heater and I don't have enough money to get the plumbing fixed in my house, which is very expensive. I've had plumbers out here. I've gotten estimates. Someone put a white sheet in my pipe this summer where I could not breathe and I had a face mask on. And the thing is, I feel like you're trying to affect my environment in such an adverse way. And you're also trying to deliberately use the biotech in a harmful way because you want me to blame the biotech. You want me to see the biotech in the way that you're using it. I see the biotech in the way that you're using it, but I also see all the other ways it could be used. And you learned that from me as well in 2015. I'm the pioneer. I'm the originator. You didn't know how it functioned. You didn't know how it felt. You didn't even know how it could be used within the environment and how it interacts with people. You learned that from me. You learned that from my response and my feedback. And now you want to pass it on to the so-called elite making 6 and 7 figures. And you want to leave me in the dust and the dirt when you use my body for science research for free. And I'm not going to allow it to happen. I'm not going to fucking allow it. I'm going to do these live recordings. I'm going to be a fucking bitch in glitch. I'm not going to hold your secrets. Whoever keeps changing my fucking dates, stop doing it. There's a lot of people that know that I have this biotech in my body. There's a lot of people that have read my original manuscript because I sent it to my mother 3 years ago. And I think maybe people thought, okay, she maybe didn't realize that I kept writing. I kept writing. There's even the manuscript that I actually published, there are several entries in that manuscript that have parts of what I said missing from it. You want me to see the biotech as a horror show. I see how you're trying to make it a horror show, but I also see everything else about it. And you don't want this Black woman to be a part of that. It's kind of like I was at the table with just a few people. And now the table is crowded with all these people, these elites from MIT and Harvard and all the, and they're like, you put the biotech in her? I know it. I know many of you have smacked the top of your heads. Are you serious? In her? Yes, in me. This little Black woman has been walking around with this biotech in her body for 9 years, raising 3 kids while they were doing all kinds of shit to me. And the only thing, and the least thing you could have done is pay me for using my body for science research. Yes, me, this Black woman, and I'm not a dummy. I have a bachelor's and a master's from 2 very good universities. I wasn't a scientist. I'm not a physicist.
You know, I'm not an engineer. No, I'm not any of those things, but I am the one with the biotech in my body. And you're not going to try to dismiss me from a table that you just came to. I was here first. I was here first. They used me first. And you want me not to talk about your science and technology? Well, you need to be fucking paying me for using me for your science and technology. You need to be paying me and stop trying to physically hurt me and have me live in this hellhole of this dilapidated situation. And then you're trying to make it look like it's my fault. How is it my fault? I didn't sneak this biotech in my own fucking body. I've survived it. I've survived it. I'm coping with it. I've learned a lot about it. And you only want me to see the negative, and I see all of it. I'm not going to take credit for the negative. I'm not going to be that poster child. I'm going to be the poster child for everything that this biotech can do and is capable of, because it's in my body. And that's it. You know, like, you shouldn't have changed my date. Am I still alive? Oh, yes, I am. I'm still alive. Don't be messing with my manuscript, because when I go through my manuscript and I see stuff fucked up, that's going to be another recording and I might reveal more stuff. So, okay, that's the end of this recording.